Why 2016 was a watershed year for tech.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. 2016 was an interesting year, to say the least, and a tumultuous one in the world of technology. In just this past year, tech companies have argued with governments on a global scale, faced unprecedented criticism, and have risen to even a more powerful place as it continues to remain at the forefront of our everyday lives. Here to break down exactly why 2016 was a bit of a watershed year for tech is none other than tech columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Christopher Mims. Welcome back, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
You put this into some really great perspective in your piece, because essentially right now, five of the seven most valuable companies in the world, including three of the most valuable, are tech companies. And, you know, we all know them. There's Apple, Google's Alphabet, Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook. That's kind of like the Fab Five of the tech world. It's as if they've become so dominant and inescapable that it sort of lends itself to unprecedented scrutiny. Is that what is at the root of it all, just the fact that it is so dominant?
Yeah, well, I think that the value of these companies reflects, you know, the amount of things that they're doing in the real world. So Facebook is sort of the Standard Oil of media. You know, Google is being gone after by the regulators in Europe because they view it as the Standard Oil of search. You know, Amazon keeps finding new businesses to enter. So, you know, these companies are big. They're big for a reason. They have a real and sizable impact in the real world. And so, of course, they're inviting more scrutiny than ever. I think also because their power is in some sense newfound. You know, 20 years ago, they didn't have as much power. You know, Facebook didn't exist. So we're kind of grappling with this new world in which there's a totally new world order, and companies that weren't in control before very much are. And I think they're getting used to that, too.
It was a big year, a lot going on in tech. So I want to just sort of break down a couple of the issues in the tech world that are at play. Digital ad spending is a big one. It was a huge issue at the forefront this year, and that's obviously not going anywhere. How have companies been grappling with the shift to digital, and what's the impact been like?
Well, I think it's redefined what advertising is, simply because it's measurable. So businesses are, in some sense, able to spend more efficiently, and even, I think, in other ways, able to create business models that were just impossible before, because they can directly tie the performance of an advertisement to, you know, outcomes, especially in e-commerce. I think that it's probably damaging other brands, though, that rely on brand advertising, because that's the one thing that TV still does better. But the eyeballs are shifting away from television. So I don't know about you, but as my own attention has shifted to a smaller screen,
sure,
I feel like I'm seeing a lot less brand advertising. And if that means that we're all thinking about Coca-Cola less, then that's not great for a company like Coca-Cola.
Right. No, that's a good way to put it. And it's certainly an issue that Facebook is dealing with, obviously. Speaking of Facebook, because this is also a huge story this year, was fake news. And with Facebook at the forefront of that issue, but it really speaks to its influence. Again, it speaks to dominance and its influence over politics. Facebook in particular, how are they grappling with this new spotlight of scrutiny?
Well, I think that they at first handled it badly by being very much in denial about how much fake news there was, or even, you know, how much distorted news there was. They really did not want to do what all media companies do, which is become an arbiter of what's true and not. Just in the last day, though, there's been some comments from Mark Zuckerberg indicating that he's the language that Facebook is a new kind of media company. And that's the first time that, you know, anyone in Facebook's leadership has used the M word.
Right.
Media company.
Right.
They always describe themselves as a platform, and it's a way to kind of get out of being responsible for the content that's on their site. But I think they're finally realizing, like, wait, you know, we are controlling what the user sees. We're already eliminating a lot of spam. Now we're outsourcing decisions over what is and isn't fake news. You know, at that point, how can they not call themselves a media company?
Right. I want to move over to Amazon, because that's obviously a huge behemoth, always has been. But in the tech world, the talk is how automation is killing jobs. perfect illustration of this is Amazon's new cashier-free stores. But you want to talk about tech dominance. Amazon is king in the world of e-commerce. And with great power comes great scrutiny. What kind of scrutiny is Amazon under right now?
Well, Amazon, the day that they announced Amazon Go, you know, which is part of their annual sort of holiday release of a new cool tech thing they're working on, right. I seriously doubt that they expected that the very next day the cover of the New York Post would be about Amazon potentially killing off millions of cashier jobs, right. Because, of course, the Amazon Go stores don't have cashiers in them. Right. Amazon is a company that loves automation, and so it's probably fitting that they should become the symbol of the way that automation displaces workers from jobs. And I think, you know, we're at a time where that was a huge issue in the election. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Trump didn't make it about automation. He talked about globalization. But immediately afterward, you saw the narrative shift and people started talking about, well, you know, how much of this, you know, loss of manufacturing jobs, for example, is about automation, you know, as much as outsourcing. And I think Amazon got swept up in that without intending to.
Yeah, no, certainly opened up the conversation. We're talking tech's tumultuous year with the journal's Christopher Mims. You're listening to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
Today's episode is brought to you by CIT. It's time to get growing with commercial lending, leasing, and treasury management services from CIT. CIT works with companies across a wide variety of industries, including transportation, technology, energy, manufacturing, healthcare, and retail. CIT has the expertise and experience to help you grow your business. For more information about how your business can grow with CIT, visit CIT.com. Put knowledge to work.
Thanks for listening, everyone. So, Chris, you can't talk tech without talking Apple. And it was an interesting year for Apple because with its first decline in revenue since 2001, the talk of the Silicon Town is how Apple is out of ideas. As of late, tech has been their game to lose. I wonder how they're grappling with where they're at right now. What do you think?
It's really not clear what's going on there, other than it seems like they have bandwidth issues. I mean, Apple is a very top-down company. You know, that's why they can achieve all the excellence in design that they achieve. But I think the Apple Watch is a good example. Mm-hmm. Pebble, which is another wearable company, the head of that company just wrote a postmortem of why his company died and had to be sold to Fitbit. And he talked about how everyone misjudged the wearable space, including Apple, and didn't realize that the major application for which people were going to buy wearables was going to be fitness. And Apple came into the market with this very high concept, very design-centered device, which, I mean, it's great because it's beautiful, but it turns out it didn't end up appealing to the folks who would end up being the core market for it. Mm-hmm. So it's a big miscalculation. You know, Apple can afford those. But it does make the company look like it's not succeeding at figuring out whatever is the next thing that comes after the iPhone. Now, whether or not that's fair, given how huge the iPhone is, that's another argument. I mean, Apple's going to be fine no matter what. You could argue that their stock is trading at a fair price, mm-hmm. and they can persist forever as the iPhone company, at least until that gets disrupted like the PC does.
Right. You know, just recently we have the big tech summit with Trump. If anything, that's a huge reflection on how significant tech is becoming in our everyday lives. So looking forward to 2017, we have a new administration. What's at stake for these tech companies?
Well, one thing that's at stake is the immigration status of a lot of their engineers, for example. Mm. It's not clear what's going to happen with the H-1B program, whether that's going to be expanded as many tech companies have asked for it to be, or if there are going to be, you know, issues with it continuing at all. Another big issue, especially for companies that deal in hardware, is that, you know, it's not going to help their supply chains if we get into a trade war with China.
Mm. Right.
And I think also, you know, there's the issue, like on the policy side, of whether things like subsidies for electric cars are going to continue under a Trump administration, which would affect, you know, companies like Tesla. Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if they're ready, because, I mean, I feel like the stars are aligned for a lot of conflict. Will there be, and how would they weather it, you know?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I think a lot of people in tech are asking themselves this. I think part of it is they really took for granted that, we had 8 years of an Obama administration, which was just very friendly toward tech in all the ways that are meaningful to it. And it seemed on the surface, just given, tweets of the president-elect, like there was going to be a huge conflict between tech and with Trump's administration. However, the stocks of these companies are generally up since the election. And, right. Part of that is if Trump's administration follows through on, some of their business-friendly promises, like lowering the corporate tax rate, helping companies repatriate, the massive profits that they are sacking away overseas and talking about hundreds of billions of dollars, that could be great for them. So, these companies might be ideologically opposed to the current administration, but ironically, the current administration could be very good for them. Mm-hmm. It could be a really very tumultuous relationship is what I would predict.
Right. We shall see. Christopher Mims, thank you as always.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Once again, that was tech columnist for the Journal, Chris Mims. You want to make sure you follow all of his stories at WSJ.com. Really insightful stuff. That wraps up this edition of the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.